Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. One of the things about Scripture is to find that there's all sorts of stories, all sorts of things happening. And one of the things that happens, particularly in the ministry of Jesus, is miracles, where something which man cannot do, God does. Now, there are nature miracles, like the stilling of the storm. There's provision miracles, like the feeding of the 5,000. And there are the miracles of healing, even the raising from the dead. And when we come to John chapter 11, we have a story which is really quite an intimate story. The family that have been touched by death were well known to Jesus. There were two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they provided a home for Jesus when he was in the Jerusalem area. Bethany, their home, was just outside, near enough to be able to get into the city reasonably quickly, but far enough away to be a real place of retreat and rest. And Jesus, we get the impression, had several times enjoyed that place of rest. But the story develops that Jesus is not in Bethany, he's elsewhere, and a message comes to him from Mary and Martha. Our brother, Lazarus, is sick. Please, come. Come and pray for him. Come and heal him. And we have quite a challenging situation, which is that Jesus hears the message, understands the message, but he doesn't respond straight away. And obviously the sisters find this very difficult to understand, because they know Jesus, they know his heart, they know his love, and yet the situation is grim. Lazarus is not kind of just a little bit unwell. He's dying. This is a very severe sickness. So why hasn't Jesus come straight away? But when the moment is right in the heart of Jesus, he does make the journey. But when he arrives, he's greeted with the news, Lazarus, the one you loved, he is dead. But Jesus is not going to allow this to prevent what the Father's already shown him. He does weep when he sees the sisters weeping and he sees the grief around. Jesus also weeps. But he comes and says, I want to come to the tomb. He's not coming to the tomb to pay his respects, but he has a very clear mission in mind. And this is what happens. Martha says, look, don't go anywhere near this tomb, because he's bound to be a very, very bad smell. He's been dead 4 days. But this is what Jesus did. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. What does he mean? Well, I believe in those days when he's waiting to get the Father's green light to go to Bethany, to Mary and Martha, and indeed to the tomb, I believe the Father has spoken to him. This sickness is not going to lead in death. Lazarus will be raised. That's why Jesus didn't rush. He knew what was going to happen. And even though he knew what was going to happen, he still shed tears, not out of despair, but just out of great compassion and sympathy. He cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man comes out. He's wrapped all in the cloths which they would have put around a body that had just died. And he says, get rid of them, because he is alive. This wonderful miracle is going to precede the greatest miracle of all, when Jesus himself rises from the dead. Jesus has conquered death. He demonstrates this here. and yet with great compassion and love for mankind. We must hear some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to reflect a little more on this story as found in John chapter 11, and particularly verses 38 to 44.
You're the one who set the stars on high and made them shine for us. And you're the one who made the earth and sky and breathed life into us. And your love so sweet that we can only fall at your feet, and we will sing a song of love to you, O Lord. And we will bring that song of love to you forevermore and evermore. And sent your son, Jesus, to take upon himself the pain of all, and give his life for us. And your love so strong that we can only fall at your throne. Song of love to you forevermore and evermore. You're all we need, a love that sets us free, free from the sin, free from the shame, free to be close to you.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, which we find in John chapter 11, verses 38 to 44. Before we go into the details of that, Richard, just tell us a little bit about the significance of miracles in Jesus' ministry, because, you know, as you were saying, they are a key part of his ministry. It's what in many ways he's remembered for. You know, we're looking at these miracles at the moment. How important were they in Jesus' ministry?
Well, they were very important, because what they showed really was that he is God. In fact, when John writes his record of the miracles, he refers to them quite deliberately as signs. They were signs, they were pointers to the divinity of Christ. And it's just so precious to know that what we cannot do, Jesus can do. He is the miracle worker. Nothing defeats Jesus.
Now, this is quite a long story, and you've given some background to it, but we're focusing in particular on this moment where he comes to the grave. He's advised that there'll be a smell, but he still carries on. Now, Martha and Mary, they talk about what they were thinking, because they clearly had no expectation of what was going to come.
No, that's right. I mean, as far as they're concerned, it's too late. Had Jesus come a little earlier, they would have believed that he could have been healed. But he's dead, he's been in the tomb 4 days, and therefore, as far as they're concerned, that's it, it's done with.
Now, the thing is, of course, he could have come earlier,
yes,
but he chose not to. So was he, in a way, testing their faith, do you think?
I think that to some degree it was testing their faith, but I think it was also knowing it would be recorded and knowing that we would look at this story today. I think it's a story which just illustrates that Jesus can do the impossible, but his timetable is always going to be his. He's not going to be pressured by anybody, even two loving sisters who he would have cared very much for, spent time with them, quality time. But no one is going to twist his arm. It has to be the right time.
I want to look at the effect of this incident, firstly on his disciples, on people who believed in him, on people like Mary and Martha and the close disciples. They hadn't seen something like this before, so how would they have reacted, do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, just sheer joy, because they would have just been absolutely overwhelmed with the knowledge that their brother was alive. But I think it was just, again, sowing that seed that even death can be conquered. And that is the biggest enemy. There may be many trials and troubles, but if Jesus can conquer death, well, that is quite something extra. And so that would have been, I think, it would have just been in their minds. And of course it's preparing, and they still have a bit of a struggle, but preparing that he would die, but that he would rise.
Yeah.
If he raised Lazarus, well then he himself would rise. And then one day we all will too.
So you got the effect on the people who believed in him, but also, quite significantly, as you look a little bit further on in this chapter, the significance of it for his ministry and on the Pharisees and the people who were against him. It was a kind of turning point, wasn't it? Because they were then determined to do something about it, so much so that we're told that in verse 54, Jesus no longer moved around publicly.
Yes. I mean, it's strange in one way, I suppose not a total mystery, but is it remarkable that instead of honouring, worshipping, they turn to try and snuff it out?
Yeah.
They can't cope with the miraculous. They can't cope with the Jesus who can raise the dead. And therefore, because they can't cope, instead of honouring him, they want to get rid of him. Yeah. Very sad.
Yeah, something they don't understand, and they try and destroy it.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly, I think, what's going on here.
Interesting. Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.